Now, it's hard to think of any aspect of our lives that isn't dominated by computers, and this shows very little sign of stopping. But just what do we mean by computer science? Well, to tell us is Professor Chris Bishop, who's the Chief Research Scientist at Microsoft Research in Cambridge. He's also a Professor of Computer Science at the University of Edinburgh, so a very busy man. And he was the guest for the 2008 Royal Institution Christmas Lectures. So, Chris, what do we mean by computer science?
Well, what I mean by computer science is really the set of underlying ideas, the mathematics, the concepts that makes digital technology possible. I think it's also worth saying what computer science isn't. So, to my mind, computer science is not really about how to use computers. So something that we teach a lot of children in school is ICT skills. We teach them how to use computers, how to use software, and that's a very important set of skills, but that itself is not computer science. So that's like the top level. We all use computers. The next level down is really how to modify computers, how to get them to do new things. That's really about programming and software development. And that's something which I think would be great if we taught even more of that in school. We barely scratched at the surface of that in the school curriculum. It would be lovely to teach more of that. But underneath that, again, is this sort of third level, the foundation of the subject, and that's computer science. That's the set of mathematics, the concepts that make it all possible. And while computer technology evolves incredibly rapidly, and next year we have a whole new set of gadgets, and the year after it's another set of gadgets again, the concepts of computer science are much more fundamental. Some of them have been around half a century, and they evolve much more slowly. And I think it would be just wonderful if we could show children in particular a lot more of these basic long-term concepts.
So it's really an understanding of the algorithms, the maths that lie at the very heart, completely regardless of the technology and what you're then doing with it. You need to understand how the numbers work in order to build up these layers that eventually get to a word processor or a shoot 'em up.
That's exactly right. A famous computer scientist called Dijkstra once said that computer science is no more about computers than astronomy is about telescopes. So the ideas of computer science apply whether you're talking about silicon or whether you built your computers out of gear wheels or whether you built it out of DNA or chemistry in some way. These are very general concepts about the limits of computation and the capabilities of computation in a very general sense.
As we've already said, you're the Chief Research Scientist at Microsoft Research. What is it that you do there? We think of Microsoft as being the people that make Windows, which a lot of our computers run on. My own laptop, of course, runs on Windows. What do you do?
Well, first of all, Microsoft Research, which is about 1% of Microsoft as a whole in terms of people, is the basic research component of Microsoft. So you can think of us as, in many ways, functioning like academics. Our researchers have a complete freedom to choose the research they do, to publish it where and when they choose, and to collaborate fully with academics and so on. At the same time, of course, they may also develop ideas that might have commercial relevance, and some of those ideas will be fed into the rest of Microsoft. Now, in Cambridge, in Microsoft Research Cambridge, which is the European lab of Microsoft Research, we have about 120 scientists covering a very broad range of fields from many of the mainstream areas of computer science, like security and systems and networking, programming language theory, and so on. But we're increasingly diverse. We have people in machine learning like myself, computer vision researchers, even ecologists and biologists these days. And so one of my main roles as chief research scientist is to promote cross-disciplinary interaction. There's a big danger in this very heterogeneous environment that everybody stays in their own little stovepipe and they don't really talk to each other. So I try to find mechanisms to mix people up and get them to understand the ideas and the problems in each other's fields. And I hope that that will promote interactions between the different disciplines, because I'm a great believer that a lot of the really new ideas actually emerge at the intersection of different disciplines. Genuinely new ideas in science are actually quite rare and very, very hard to find. It's slightly less hard to take a good idea from somebody else's field and import it into your own field, where it may be quite novel and may have quite an impact.
In fact, we had a very good example of this on the show a few weeks ago with Alyssa Goodman, who was using the software that's been developed for understanding and visualising MRI scans to look at deep space. So it really is true that this sort of multidisciplinarianism is really the way that science seems to be moving. But going back to something you said that you were working on yourself, machine learning. Now, the idea of intelligent machines has been around for a while, but what do we really mean? How can we get a machine to learn?
So, yes, the idea of intelligent machines goes right back to the dawn of computing, and certainly Turing, Alan Turing, the famous Cambridge mathematician who was one of the founders of the modern field of computer science, was very interested in the idea of building intelligent machines. And it's obviously an enormously difficult problem. While technology in many respects has evolved incredibly quickly, and we now have machines that are extremely good at, let's say, multiplying numbers together, far, far better than any human, there are other tasks that people and, to some extent, animals are very good at that we tend to characterise as intelligence. Things such as visual recognition, simply looking at a visual scene and understanding what's going on in it, recognising different objects and understanding what's happening, is proven to be immensely difficult to build those capabilities into a computer. So over the years, we've been making good progress. There's a long, long way to go, though, before we have a machine which has very general intelligence. And in fact, although perhaps 30 years ago, people sought to build machines that would be intelligent in a high-level sense, that is, machines you could have a conversation with about philosophy or poetry, for example, we've sort of more or less abandoned that because it's really just way too difficult. And we've kind of taken a bottom-up approach, a more of a signal processing approach. We say, well, let's look at some of the simpler tasks that machines are not yet good at, but, say, people are good at. And the example I gave already was recognising objects in the visual world. It's an immensely difficult problem. It appears to be trivial. I can turn around and I can say, well, look, there's a glass, there's a table, there's a chair, there's a microphone in front of me and so on. I can recognise these objects. But actually, what your eye sees is a pattern of light and dark and colour that is enormously variable. So no two chairs look the same. The pattern of light on the retina varies as the chair is moved closer or further away or rotated as light is scattered off other objects, and which changes the colour of the light, which changes the colour of the chair and so on. There's this huge variability. And our brain, in some way that I think we don't really understand yet, mysteriously takes away all that variability and says, no, that's still a chair. If we could build a similar capability into machines, it would be very powerful technologically. It's an outstanding problem that we're just beginning to make good progress with, I would say. So it's one of the fast-moving frontiers of machine intelligence at the moment.
Well, it sounds really exciting. It is true that we see a chair, but there are so many different varieties that if we had to program this into a computer, it would be an enormous database of things that they need to look at. I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there for now, Chris, but hopefully we will get some questions from the audience for you. That was Edinburgh University's Professor Chris Bishop. So in the future, our computers may be much more intelligent, but ultimately that probably won't stop me getting distracted by games of Minesweeper.
I'm glad that happens to someone else too. Thank you, Ben.